Hello, Poised with Purpose Posse, and welcome to episode number 5, Abundance Integration with Viola Hug. Viola is an intuitive business coach and mentor for visionaries, holistic nutritionist, host of the Abundant Babes, a podcast for the Visionary Podcast, and an educational and motivational speaker. She lives a digital nomad lifestyle, traveling around the world, working with clients to help them set up and scale their soul business, and empowering women everywhere to know that they have what it takes to achieve all of their wildest dreams. Viola's definition of poise? I would say feeling assured in your purpose and trusting that life happens for you. And I would consider myself poised because I live like that and truly trust what is happening for me. So strong. I've seen firsthand the sparkle in Viola's eye when she talks about self-improvement, and it is beyond beautiful. She is truly in her element and is multi-gifted, multi-passionate, and singularly the most awesome person on the planet. Her take on abundance is what originally led me to her group programs and coaching, so definitely check out her podcast if you love talking all things abundance. Without further ado, here's episode number 5. Welcome to the Poised with Purpose podcast. My name is Amanda Popovsky, and it's my pleasure, passion, and profession to guide you in your journey to your dream life. My proposition for you? Together, we'll put positivity, passion, purpose, and personal growth into practice with perspective and playfulness. If you love practical problem solving plus personal development, this is the perfect place for you. I'm so pumped that you press play. So let us proceed. Let's do it. Hello, Poised with Purpose Posse. I'm so excited to bring you the best person I know, quite possibly, my own coach, Viola Hug. She is a light of sunshine. She is an incredibly inspiring person. Her story is amazing. And she travels the world with her husband, just chilling, working on her business, and being awesome. I can't wait to get started. Please welcome Viola. Hi.
Hello. Oh my gosh. You should see the grin on my face right now, guys. Like, I'm smiling so big. That was so, so super nice. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. All right, so tell me about your start. Where did you get your start in spirituality and purpose and being a coach?
Okay, good question. I mean, there's like so many aspects to the story, right? Like, I feel like you can never really go into it in too much depth. But if I'm thinking about it, like, I feel like I've always been curious, like spiritually curious. You know, like from small things, like when I was a kid, I was really fascinated by crystals when we went into shops that sold crystals. And I think my parents were pretty alternative with their beliefs. Like, I don't feel that they ever put any strong belief systems on us. But yeah, I don't know. There wasn't a lot of influence from them. But then there was also like a few times where you'd hear like different philosophies, like the law of attraction and stuff. But really the first time that I'd ever heard anything about the law of attraction was through the book or the movie, The Secret, which, you know, I feel like most people, it's like, if you've started getting into this stuff, you've probably read or watched The Secret, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's like the perfect intro. And it was like the perfect intro for me, because what happened when I was watching that, and like, for those of you who don't know anything about me, like, I'm a super, super ambitious person. And I've always had this like real innate knowing that I was meant to do really awesome things with my life. And also I had this belief in myself that, like, as I look back in hindsight, I'm like, where the heck did that even come from? Because I didn't have like a lot of reasons to believe in myself, like from the from the external world. But it was like this inner feeling, like I was just like, I can do it, I'm gonna do it, and it's gonna be awesome. No idea what it was at the time, but I just felt it. And then when I watched The Secret, it was suddenly like everything that I suspected was like true, and then even better than I thought. You know, like, I thought that we could, you maybe, you know, work our way into success or the thing that we wanted to do when I was younger. It was like first like to be in a band, and then it was to be an actor, and then later it turned into entrepreneurship. I was always wildly ambitious, and then I always kind of thought we could work our way there. I read The Secret, and I thought we could think our way there, and we could use our mind, and that our mind actually has so much more power than we ever give it credit for. I was like blown away by this concept, and I'd just been through some challenging times. Like, I lost my dad when I was a teenager to cancer, and I wasn't really in the best place emotionally. And by that, I mean, I think when I watched The Secret, it was kind of like I was still on the downward spiral. Like, things still got a lot worse for a few years after that. But at the same time, it was like this knowing that I had in the back of my mind, and I suddenly started feeling more empowered. And the more empowered I felt, the more I was like getting back into The Secret. I think I might have watched the movie again, and I was watching like all those Japanese water experiments where, you know, the molecules are being changed by either you put love or you put hate or, you know, different things on bottles of water, and it literally changes the structure of the molecules. And I was like, yeah, like freaking insane stuff. And I was like when you have like thank you or I love you, they turn into these like snowflake looking molecules, mm-hmm. versus if you have like I hate you or you disgust me, were like some of the ones they used, then they would be like real like deformed looking ones.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they also like use the same, they would water plants with the water and see what would happen to the plants. Like, people have even done this experiment at home. Like, I recommend you try it out if you're really curious, but you can like cut an apple in half or boil some rice and like put them in two different containers and just write on them, I love you and I hate you, and you watch which ones mold quicker. And it's just like insane.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Mm. And so it was kind of like reminding me that we are so powerful, and we're like, we're the best friggin', you know, we're so great, lucky to be on this earth, having this experience with this crazy insane power. And, you know, it was difficult for me to hear on one end, because it took me having to take responsibility of my situation and not be a victim. Because when I was really, you know, in depression, it was like, oh, everything's happening to me, this world's so cruel, and, you know, like, I have a lot of, I put everything outside of myself, and I thought, you know, it's not my fault that I'm like this, it's, you know, bad things happen to me. It was just like totally in this mindset. Whereas then when I started thinking this, I thought, okay, well, maybe I have a little bit more control than I thought, and maybe it's not, I'm not that I'm saying that I put myself into that really negative place per se. I definitely didn't do it consciously, but I also wasn't helping myself with the way that I had been thinking, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And as I started to change my mindset, I started to find that my life started to change. So at the start of 2010, I was suicidal. By mid-2010, I was like feeling this complete ownership of my life and feeling really positive and like, really like, you know, I wasn't in this situation anymore where I felt like I needed a man or I needed anything to validate me. Like, I was kind of just on this journey, like, I'm just going to do what I want. And by the end of 2010, I'd like healed a lot of health issues that I'd been struggling with. I met my now husband, and we like fell in love in like 2 days, and it was like such a cute story. And then we, you know, like everything changed for me. My like whole trajectory changed, and it was insane. So I had this like, you know, real knowing now, like now I heard it before in theory, and now I knew that it was possible to change your life with the way you think. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously my dreams just got bigger from that point. So I was like, you know, when all my university friends were looking for jobs, I was just like, eh, screw a job. Like, I'm going to start a business. And, anyway, I, you know, a few years later I entered, or, well, actually, when I finished university, I entered the business world, and I, you know, started playing around with different things in there. And after all I'd learned, and mostly the personal development that I'd done and kind of the ups and downs that I'd had through that journey alone, I started to realize that my favorite thing to do was actually to talk to people, to give advice to people, to connect with people, and also remind them of their own inner strength and how much power we actually have. And that's what led me to starting my coaching business in December 2017. So it hasn't been that long, but it's been an amazing ride.
Wow. Yes. Oh my gosh. That is so inspiring. Oh my goodness. And I've seen the power that you have firsthand just in being my coach to be able to advise people and make people realize that they are shining stars. And it's amazing. It's so great to see. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. So now in 2018, almost 2019, you have your own podcast called The Abundance Babes, A Home for the Visionary, which is amazing. I love every episode. But I'd love for you to kind of talk about abundance and how you discovered that, like you say, abundance is a river that sometimes we only dig a cup into, when in reality we can just be playing in the river all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, abundance, I guess, firstly, to clarify what my definition of abundance is, I mean, you can always take your own spin for those of you listening, but abundance for me is really about just being able to have, be, do anything that you desire from this place of feeling like you're never going to run out of it. Right? Like it's this almost like this assurance that you can have whatever it is that you desire in your life and you don't have to be afraid that you'll use it up. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to run out or that if someone else has it, you won't have it too. It's just like this assurance that there's more than enough and that there is like more where that came from. Right? So whether we're talking about finances, whether we're talking about relationships, whether we're talking about anything really, right? Because a big thing that I see is like we're raised in a society where scarcity, which is I guess the opposite of abundance, is like profoundly huge. Like it's like, you know, it's like ingrained within who we are. People who have a lot still feel scarcity. They're scared they're going to lose it. They're scared that, you know, there's competition that will take it away. They're scared of many, many things. And then people who don't have it also feel the lack and the scarcity and the fact that they think they'll never have it. Or they think that the, you know, the people that do have it are keeping it all for themselves and not sharing it around. Like, it's like this, regardless of what area you go into, regardless of how much people actually have, there's a massive sense of lack and scarcity within those people. And I remember even like when I was a kid, I would like my, cause so like I lived in many, many different places, but most of my childhood I spent in Canada. And my grandparents are living in Germany, which is where my family's originally from. And they would send like a little care package of like German candy and everything every year for Christmas. And yeah, and like as we like grew older and we got healthier, we're like still trying to convince them to stop sending them. And they like now send only like little boxes instead of ginormous ones. But when I was a kid, obviously I freaking loved it because I just loved it. I was like a sugar addict when I was a kid, which is so funny because for a lot of people who know me now, like I don't really ever eat sugar. It's like so, so different. But then I would like have the candy and I would like hoard it. Like I would not want to eat it. Like I feel like one, this is a good testament for delayed gratification because as we know with abundance, with business, with all of these things, we actually have to be in a space where we know that we can do the work now and we will receive the blessings in the future rather than, you know, the instant gratification that we usually desire. So one, delayed gratification, I'm like, don't even know where that came from as a child. And then secondly, the reason that I did it is because I was scared that I would eat it and then everyone else would still have candy and I would be out of candy. And so I didn't want to be the one who didn't have it. So it was like this massive lack mindset, right? And so abundance is this concept of being able to know that there's always going to be more and there's always enough for everyone and not necessarily just with candy, but I think like a huge theme definitely in like success and abundance with finances and things. And when I first started learning about this, I thought that it's something that you either have or you don't, right? So either you have abundance or you don't have abundance. And so if you've got a lot of money, that means you have abundance. And if you don't have a lot of money, it means you don't have abundance. And, you know, like, have you ever felt that way about it as well, Amanda?
Oh yeah, for sure. I used to think like, oh, you know, people who are wealthy or whatever, they were born into it. Like, I'm just not meant for that lifestyle.
Yeah. like, I'm not meant for it, I can't have it, or I might have it for a while, but then I'll lose it. Like, you know, there's like so many ways to look at it. And yeah, and I really felt that at the start. And then what I started to notice, though, as I went through my journey of really knowing abundance, is I had to essentially lose it all. And by all, I don't mean everything. I still had a place to live. I still had amazing relationships with my family and my partner, but I lost everything that felt like it meant success and abundance to me. So when I started building my business and I desired success and I desired abundance, I was really looking for external validation for that. So when I hit like a rank advancement in my company that I first started with, that meant I was successful. And then when I set a goal and I didn't hit a rank advancement, it meant I wasn't successful. And it meant that people either recognized me, or it meant that people either thought she doesn't know what she's doing. And then when I got big paychecks, it meant I was successful. And when I didn't, it meant I wasn't. And so it was like everything in my life was really like, if something happened externally, it would change how I felt about myself and my situation, right? Mm. And so then what happened is I had to lose all of that. So I literally went from a point where over a year we'd grown so much success and finances and business and all of that stuff. And then within a few months, we essentially lost almost all of it. Wow. So we started getting to really, really bad debt because of it. We started not being able to grow it again either. Like, we did the same things. We worked even harder. I would like stay up all day, all night working. I would never take days off. Like, I was just trying to do to try and create that again. And I was like, oh, I'm just not abundant. I'm just not good at manifesting. It's just not happening. Like, it was this real like fear all the time. Until like literally kept getting worse and worse and worse, and we thought something has to change. And the only thing I could think of changing was the way I was thinking about my situation, because I was trying everything else. And then I decided to start changing the way I was thinking about my situation. So it was interesting, because the first time I truly feel that I personally felt true abundance in my life, where I felt this, right, what I described before, was in one of the times when we had the least to show for ourselves. We had the least amount of money. We were in so much debt. And yet, between my husband and I, we felt the most abundant and the most gratitude for everything we were going through. And it was just like mind-blowing. Like, I thought, how is this possible? And then as through that energy, things started to shift in my external life, I started to put it all together. And I started to realize that abundance isn't something that you get. It isn't something that you receive. It's actually, abundance is actually already always within us. It's something that we can always choose to tap into. And it has nothing to do with our external circumstance. It actually has to do with how we feel about life inside, which then if we start to understand abundance manifestation, the law of attraction, we start to understand that it's that feeling that actually speeds up the process of more of those types of things coming into your life. That will make you also feel externally abundant, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a long-winded explanation, but
no, that's fantastic. I love how you said that we are always experiencing abundance. Because I read a quote, I forgot exactly what it was, but it was something along the lines of, abundance is everything. We just create limitations on abundance.
That's cool.
Like, even if, because we all have like limiting beliefs, but all of our beliefs are limiting, because abundance is in everything. So I thought that was pretty
cool. That's so true.
Awesome.
That is cool. Yeah. And it's like, I often talk about it as if, like what you said at the start, it's like a lot of people, they think they'll like tap into abundance at some point. Like, you know, that they'll be like lighting all the candles and incense and like doing the prayer and putting crystals in their bra and like tap into abundance for a moment where they can receive maybe a new client or a pay rise or whatever it is for that person. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, I tapped into this thing of abundance. And if we imagine like the analogy that I give is like, there's this massive river and it's this beautiful freaking river. My river, if you want to know, is like purple and blue with sparkles in it. It's just like gorgeous. My abundance river. And you can imagine your river however the heck you want. that like, it's like people are just like, oh, I need it. I need some abundance in my life. So they like trek down to the river and they like fill a bucket and they walk back and then they use up their abundance and they have to go back. When really it's like, we actually are designed to be living within the river, right? Like we are designed to jump in. We're designed to flow with it. We're designed to experience it at all times. And we actually have this abundant current running through us at all times. And even in some of our darkest times and our saddest times and our times where we might be conditioned to believe that we are in the most scarce, you know, are experiencing the most lack that we are conditioned to believe of our situation, you can actually still tap into that feeling. And that is mainly through gratitude. I mean, I think that's, there's a quote that says gratitude is the open door to abundance. And it truly, truly is, because if you can find gratitude in a moment, you can feel what it feels like to be abundant. And underneath everything, you can be grateful for your breath. You can be grateful for being alive. And that is like, you know, you don't need anything else but your breath. And once you stop breathing, then you will, you know, you'll return to the energy where there isn't the polarity, where you get to experience it in a completely new level. But while we're here on Earth, we have this beautiful ability to experience both abundance and scarcity, and therefore feel so much more joy and gratitude in the experience of it. Because we get to know both, right?
Yes, that's brilliant. I agree, because we're like, we have our senses and we're limited in that way for a reason, so that we can experience the lows and the highs.
Yeah, totally. And I think like, because of the fact that we feel highs and lows, it makes it so much more powerful. And I know, you know, like I've had experiences where I felt like really, really deep hurt, but because I felt deep hurt, when I then found, you know, the opposite, the love or the happiness or whatever it is that was polar from that situation, I was even more grateful for that situation. I even felt more happiness in that situation because I also knew what it was like deeply not to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so many people can relate to that too. About like if you maybe go through a terrible breakup and then you find someone new after spending time with yourself, it feels like the best feeling in the world. So much better than if you hadn't experienced that low. Yeah, for sure.
It's like you just have a new level of awareness and gratitude for a day.
Agreed. Agreed. How would you suggest that the listeners kind of cultivate that gratitude or that abundant practice?
Yeah, great question. So I think for everyone, there's different levels that everyone can start at, because some of you listening might already have a gratitude practice. Some of you might have like been like, oh, I've tried gratitude. It doesn't freaking work. I'm still broke. And believe me, I've been there too. That was more my experience at the start. I was just like, oh, I tried that stuff. Like, no, like I need like the how to give me the friggin' map to money and I will follow the plan. Don't tell me to have gratitude because I got nothing. I've so been there too. So right now you're thinking like, oh my gosh, this lady is just like freaking insane. I know. And I own it. I do sound insane, but it's only because I've experienced both ends. And I just like, and I so know the truth in it as well. So it's okay if I need to look insane to some people, but, you know, so some of you may have already tried it, or you may have already have a practice, and some of you may, you know, just be, desiring that next level of your abundance, journey, in which, you know, it's no longer just something that you, you have to consciously bring yourself to feel, but it becomes a part of who you are and who you, how you embody yourself. You know, I really feel that to some level I've really embodied abundance now. So, you know, there was a time when I really was like, I don't know how I'd ever possibly tap into that. And then it was like, okay, well maybe here's some things I can start doing and I'll see if it works. And then later it was just like, hey, this is kind of working. And now it's kind of like become a part of who I am. It's a part of how I, think on an automatic response. It's a part of how I feel internally most of the time. I'm still challenged with that belief, but that keeps that belief, I think, fresh and like more powerful, because it, you know, it's consistently, I bring awareness back to it consistently. So it also doesn't leave me. And so, I mean, there's, for all of you, just know that you can tap into that and you can embody it, and everyone has access to be able to do that. But I do think that gratitude is like one of the first places to start. So one of the things that I love to do is wake up first thing in the morning. Well, you always wake up. Basically, first thing whenever you wake up. But whenever you wake up, you bring your attention to, before you do anything else, before you check your phone, before you start stressing about your to-do list, before you, you know, whatever else that you might possibly do in the morning, you start thinking about your gratitude. And so I recommend at least three things to think about that you can be grateful for in that moment. And some days they might be like super profound, and some days they might be like, I'm grateful for my pillow, my blanket, and my that's okay too. There's no right or wrong with what you feel gratitude for, but it's definitely really just bringing your awareness to gratitude, because the more you consciously bring an awareness to gratitude, the more it's going to become a habit, because the mind takes a while, you know, to get things. It takes a while to realize, oh, this is actually something she's doing now. Like at the start, then it'll be like, eh, I just forget gratitude. It might take a little bit more like brain power to remind yourself to do it.
Absolutely.
And then after a while though, your brain's like, yeah, your brain's gonna be like, cool, like, okay, this is something that you're doing, let's integrate it. And then before you know it, you're waking up thinking about your gratitude already. But it's like back to, you know, reminding yourself that if you woke up, you still have a purpose. Like, I truly believe that every morning you wake up, you still have a purpose on this earth. So that is something to be grateful for. You're breathing. You know, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you likely have the basic human necessities. And that is something to be grateful for. And then it's also then shedding light to areas of your life that you want to show gratitude to, where you want to see an increase as well. So what I mean by this is that sometimes we say, you know, I'm grateful for the bed, I'm grateful for the blanket, I'm grateful for the pillow, and it's kind of, it's great, and it's a great place to start cultivating that grateful energy. But also if you kind of start to think about, well, where's an area that I actually really like, I sometimes notice that I feel lack in. So let's say finances, because I think it's probably a big one for a lot of people. And so they think, okay, like, I feel grateful that I have this bed, and I'm grateful that I'm breathing, but I just don't have any money to do the things that I want to do. So it's like a limitation, right? When we feel a limitation around something, like I said before, how the law of attraction works, it's actually going to make us feel more limited in that. It's going to constrict our energy. It's going to constrict how we feel around, how we act because of a situation. And the, you know, magic of the law of attraction means it's probably going to call in extended periods of time for you to feel more of that energy that you're feeling around the situation. So if you feel stressed out, overwhelmed, you know, scared, scarce about finances, then this is an area to call gratitude into. So waking up in the morning and very consciously thinking about the money you do have, whether it's 1 cent, whether all that you have right now is credit, right? Whether it's I don't know, you found a quarter on the ground when you were walking. Maybe you went to the supermarket and you were buying food and it was on special, so you saved a little bit. Maybe the fact that you even bought food, it's the fact that it was there. Maybe it's also you had a bill, but you had the money to pay the bill. Yeah, you have nothing left over, but you still had the money to pay the bill, right? So it's like starting to bring your awareness to the fact that you have money to be grateful for, regardless of whether or not it feels like enough. So you bring your awareness there and you just think, I'm so grateful for the money that I have. I am so grateful for the fact that it allows me to pay my bills. I'm grateful that I, you know, receive abundance through food at the supermarket being on special. Like it's kind of bringing awareness there and not thinking about what you don't have when it comes to money, but thinking about what you do have. And I can guarantee you, when you infuse that kind of energy, you do that every single day for 30 days and watch your experience change. You know, you're going to be suddenly noticing that everything you buy is suddenly spending money all over the place, discounts, you're winning prizes, like all of these things, or even, you know, cash money's flowing into your bank account. It can happen in so many ways, but it's, yeah, that's, I think, a big thing that I see with gratitude and abundance. Like a lot of people, when they think of gratitude, it's kind of like only focusing on maybe what they tangibly have, which is great, but it's also the areas that we're struggling with our belief around abundance is really the best place to bring gratitude to.
Yes, absolutely. And I love how you emphasized consistency, both in the practice and then being consistently grateful instead of just being grateful when you're not experiencing scarcity. It's so important to maintain the relationship with money or with your significant other or anything.
Yeah.
Because like you and I were discussing, the subconscious mind, like you need to, it's not going to pull you out of your comfort zone. It's not going to help you get out of your comfort zone or develop a spiritual practice or go for your money mindset. It's not going to help you do that. It's kind of hindering you in that way. But experiencing, trying to be consistent and like really ruling over your mind with diligence and discipline and really like sacrificing those old habits for new ones, though it can be challenging at times, is so important.
Yeah. This is so important as well. I'm glad you bring it up because for a lot of people, what they think it's like, one, they like do gratitude for 3 days and they're like, my life hasn't changed. It's over. But then also what happens is they forget to do it one day and then they forget to do it the second day and then they forget to do it the third day. And what a lot of people think is like, oh, it's just not for me. Oh, I'm just not a habits person. Oh, it's just, you know, it's really hard for me to do it. Like there's all of these limiting beliefs that come up around why you can't do something, especially when like a lot of people, all of you listening have probably experienced this in one way or another, whether it was starting to go to the gym or changing the way that you eat or changing the way that you think. Like all of you are like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to do this. And then you get into it and there's a million reasons now why you can't do it or you shouldn't do it or you couldn't do it. And the interesting thing about the human psyche is that, you know, like on a very human kind of survival based aspect of ourselves, really what the mind is designed for is figuring out how to keep you alive as long as possible so that you can procreate and then, you know, like continue on the human race basically. And so 95% of our mind is actually used up for that space, right? It's our subconscious mind, 95% of it. So 95% from this perspective, it learns throughout life and goes, how can I keep you alive in like the safest possible way where you can, you know, just do the things you need to do without risking anything by changing anything. So, you know, when you're a kid, you learn how to walk and it's really uncomfortable at first, but then you figure it out. And then you learn how to brush your teeth and tie your shoes and take a shower and all of these things. And by the time you become an adult, you know how to do all of those things on autopilot now. You don't need to think about, oh, how do you turn on the hot water again? How do I wash myself? Where, you know, what do I wash first? You automatically go in the shower. You do the exact same thing every time. Right? When you first started driving, it was like the most terrifying experience. People couldn't even talk to you. You couldn't even have the radio on. Right? You're just like, do not look at me. I need to concentrate. Because that is not something your subconscious mind had learned yet. So it was like a process that you needed your full conscious mind for, right? That 5% that is capable of learning these new things. It's like you needed to use that 5% so you couldn't concentrate on anything else other than the task at hand, which was driving. And then when you suddenly got really good at driving, for those of you that actually do drive, you're suddenly now you're doing your makeup, you're eating food, you're talking to your best friend on speakerphone, you're like also listening to an audiobook, why not? Like you're just doing like 20 million things at once because suddenly now driving isn't something you need to use your conscious mind for anymore. Like all of us have had that experience where we're like driving, even when we're on the bus or something, if we consistently catch public transport, where we're just like, we get in the car and then suddenly we're at work and we're like, wait, what happened in between? Like, how did I get here?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So it's like, that's because our autopilot mind has kind of like a routine sussed, and it likes this routine and it wants this routine to stay the same. And as soon as you start changing anything, even if it's something that's going to be really beneficial for you, like doing gratitude in the morning or whatever it is, it's going to resist that. It's going to say, no, what are you doing? We like things the way they are. Like, I do not understand this new program. It's like a computer, you know, like, it's like, I do not compute. Like, what is this new program you're trying to install? Yeah. And then it will actually fight you. So when you start having those limiting beliefs, when you start forgetting your practices, it's not because it's not meant for you. It's not because you can't do that or you're not good at blah, blah, blah. It's actually because your mind is like, danger, you're trying to change something. What if we can't keep you alive with this new programming installed? And so it's going to do everything in its power to make you forget so it can go back to the way it is. It's a creature of habit. So until you consciously choose to say, I'm going to move ahead and do this anyway, your mind's going to resist it. And then as soon as you consistently start doing it and it becomes a habit, suddenly your mind is okay with it now. You know, and like I shared earlier at the start, the whole abundance technique was like, and like gratitude and all of that stuff was like this foreign concept, whereas now it's like something that's just a part of me. And it's because for long enough, I didn't listen to my limiting beliefs. I didn't listen to the excuses. If I forgot a day, I picked up myself up and did it straight away again. I know like a rule of thumb that's been really helpful for me, especially when I'm building a habit, is I try to never go 2 days without doing it if I know it's good for me. So like with exercise, for example, if I miss a day, that's okay. If I miss a second day, then that's okay as well. But the third day I have to do it. You know, if I'm meditating and I'm meditating every day and then I forget a day, that's okay. If I forget again, then I have to make sure no matter what I do it the next day. It's like never go 2 days without doing something if you know it's good for you.
Wow. Oh, that's an awesome rule. And that really like kind of, it lets you off the hook while still having the hook attached. Because if you forget that first day, so often we like beat ourselves up and then we feel like we've fallen off the wagon and we can't get back on. And so that's so helpful to frame it like that and to just understand that it's your mind trying to protect you from potential death. And it's not just you being like lazy or unmotivated or anything.
Yeah.
And we all go through it no matter what level you're at. So that's awesome.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel as well, like half the time when I like talk about it, I like see even a new layer where I can work on this more, you know, like there's areas where I'm trying to build habits where I'm like, oh, it's definitely been more than 2 days since I've done that. But this is a reminder for me, you know, like, and it's like exactly what you said, that's nothing to beat yourself up about. That's not the point at all. Like when we beat ourselves up, if you think about what I was talking about before, the energy that puts us in is the opposite of what we're trying to attract. So there's no point in doing that, but actually like reframing that and celebrating the fact you even noticed. Because if you notice that you forgot to do it, that means that you have an awareness around it. And awareness is the key to success. Like I literally always say this, awareness is the key to success. If you can be aware around something, it means you can change it. So rather than in that moment thinking, oh shit, like I suck, I screwed up, blah, blah, it's going, oh my gosh, I just realized that I forgot to do it. So yay me for noticing. And when can I like commit to doing it again?
Yes. Celebration. That's like the biggest thing, probably one of the biggest things that I've learned from you. Cause I'll go to Viola with, like limiting beliefs that I've worked through or anything. And I'm like, here, help me. And she's like, yay, you did it. Like, you're aware of this now. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm awesome.
And it's
wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. Cool. Awesome. That is so helpful. Thank you so much for bringing all of this amazing information to my audience. I'm sure they're going to be just as obsessed with you as I am. But I have two remaining questions. Yay. And the first one is if you could recommend any book to a beginner or somebody who's already established, what book would you recommend?
I really love the book, The Big Leap. So it's called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And the reason I recommend this book is because for a long time, I really, really struggled to figure out what was wrong with me, quote unquote, right? Like I was doing all the things, I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting ahead or I wasn't figuring things out. And it's this concept of self-sabotage. I know a lot of people talk about that. where they're like, it's like I'm self-sabotaging myself because I know I should do the thing, but I'm just not doing it. Mm-hmm. And this book is all about that concept. There's literally an actual thing that happens in the mind where when we actually start changing things, it's to do with exactly what I was just talking about with the subconscious mind. But it's when we start changing things, we hit what the book calls the upper limit. And the upper limit is kind of the upper limit that you have set for yourself on a subconscious level of the maximum amount of happiness, joy, love, pleasure, whatever, that you're allowed to feel or experience in any area of your life. Because, I mean, kind of in a way, it's the level that your subconscious mind has decided is safe. Mm. And when we go beyond that in any area, we actually have two choices. We either have to raise everything else to come meet that higher level, or we have to bring the thing that's moved up back down to the level that it currently is, which that's what most people do. And so for me, this book was like revolutionary in understanding my mind in that way, and also like understanding different concepts and stuff that I could use and different perspective shifts I could use to move past that upper limit problem and actually start working towards increasing all of my set points rather than bringing myself back down to the same level every time.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. And one more question. If you could give the audience any last advice, like your most powerful advice in 10 words or less, what would it be?
Oh my gosh, the pressure of this. I'm like,
performance. No pressure.
No, I'm just joking. I honestly believe that my belief, my power always comes back to whatever it is that you desire, you can do it. Mm. And I 111% believe in you.
Wow. Ooh, that makes me feel so warm and fuzzy.
And I believe that to my core. Like I believe it. I know it to be true. Like whatever it is that you guys are desiring, you can achieve. That's the reason you're desiring it.
Right. And it was in a live maybe or something else, and you were talking about that. And you said the universe wouldn't put a desire on your heart and just be like, ha ha, sucker, you can't do it. There's a reason that you have those desires, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. Speaking of podcasts, actually, Viola was the one who really encouraged me to take the leap and start the podcast. So I would love for you to talk a little bit more about what you are offering in 2019 regarding podcasts.
Yes, amazing. So, I mean, I guess like for me, the podcast was a really revolutionary thing for me because, you know, for those of you that maybe are entrepreneurs, wanting to be entrepreneurs, like I found that there was so many reasons why it was good to start a podcast. Like for one, it's an incredible way to share your message, especially if you're multi-passionate. It's like such a great platform for that. But then also, the level of influence that you're able to have and the amount of people that you're able to reach in a way where you can genuinely build connections with people like tenfolds with things like a podcast. And so I also notice a lot of people kind of really struggle around the idea of actually starting it. It's kind of like one of those projects that's on the too hard shelf just because it's not as easy as just doing a Facebook Live or anything like that because there's so many pieces that have to come together. And then also not only just starting a podcast, but understanding how to keep consistent with a podcast and how to utilize it in a way that's actually really going to be beneficial for you and your audience. So I created the Podcast Project, which is a program where you're able to launch your podcast in 10 days. And I am having the second round of it in January 2019. So I'm super, super, super pumped for that. And that's the program that Amanda took part in with me as well. So that was really, really fun. And I think, Amanda, we talked about that. We'll drop some info in the show notes about that. And you can always get in touch with Amanda or me if you want to know more about it as well.
Absolutely. We will have all of your social media and your information in the show notes as well. Please check Viola out. She is an amazing, abundant ray of sunshine. And I'm so grateful that you came on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation.